What do Facebook, Google, Salesforce.com, Uber, VMware, Netflix, IKEA, Birdseye, 5-Hour Energy, and Pixar have in common? In what way does Apple work like 165-year-old glass company Corning? What all-too-common mistake did Microsoft make and repeat over and over when it wasted billions of dollars on Zune, Windows Mobile, Bing, and Microsoft stores? How do you explain why some startups last and build value, while others shoot up and then flame out? Why was Elvis not just the king, but a category king? And what can all of this teach us about enduring success in the 21st century economy, in both good times and downturns? The key to each has to do with creating, developing, and dominating new categories of products and services. Stick around, and we'll tell you how that's done. True stories of kings and kingdoms. Category kings are all around us. They create entirely new categories of business or entirely new ways of doing things. For this book, we studied category kings, analyzed data about them, and interviewed founders of many. These are the companies that shape our lives and alter the future. As we like to say, they play bigger than other companies. Category kings are not just a recent phenomenon. Before the 1920s, there existed no such category as frozen foods. Clarence Birdseye, yep, that was actually his name, created it. Like many category creators through the ages, Birdseye was an outsider. Born in Brooklyn, New York in 1886, he spent a lot of time on his family's farm on Long Island and developed a passion for taxidermy, not a hobby many kids have these days. That led him to a job as a naturalist for the U.S. government, which eventually took him to Labrador in Canada's northeastern corner. Birdseye watched the Inuit people catch fish and toss them on the ice, where the fish flash froze, retaining their flavor and texture. When Birdseye returned to the United States, he experimented by flash freezing fish between cakes of dry ice, and then realized the process also worked for vegetables. He started a company, at first called General Seafoods, to make and sell this new category of product. As he built his company, Birdseye realized he had to design and build the category itself, because before Birdseye, there was no ecosystem that would get frozen food from a factory to consumers, and no demand for frozen food because consumers didn't even know they might want it. He developed freezer cars for railroads and sold rail operators on the idea. He developed freezer cases for grocers and convinced them that frozen food would increase sales. He even convinced DuPont to invent cellophane. And he ran ads that positioned frozen vegetables as something different from canned vegetables. One Early Life magazine ad, by then under the Birdseye brand, showed a woman in pearls lounging on a pillow eating Birdseye spinach, implying that only commoners put up with canned spinach. Frozen food was not just better than canned food, it was different from canned food. Birdseye's work took a couple of decades to pay off, but it takes time to build and dominate categories, and it took a lot more time then than it does now. Of course, almost a century later, Birdseye is still a huge brand in frozen foods. Clarence Birdseye has more in common than you might think with the founders of Uber. Uber is a category king of recent vintage. Not very long ago, we all lived with an age-old problem. In most cities, taxi service sucked. If you walked out to a given street corner, you had no idea if a taxi might happen by in a few minutes or, well, never. Yet, there didn't seem to be an alternative way to get an instant car ride, so people didn't seek one out. We had an old ongoing problem, but we didn't really know it was a problem that could be solved in a new way. On a snowy night in Paris in 2008, Travis Kalanick and Garrett Camp, in the city for a European tech conference, stood roadside, getting wetter and colder, as they tried in vain to hail a cab. Kalanick and Camp were, separately, already reasonably successful tech entrepreneurs. Kalanick had started an online content delivery company, Red Swoosh, which got bought by Akamai Technologies for $20 million. Camp had done better, founding StumbleUpon, a content discovery site, and selling it to eBay for $75 million. They were looking for a next idea for a company, perhaps something they'd do together. And while freezing and frustrated in Paris, they talked of solving this taxi problem. Apple's iPhone had been introduced less than a year earlier, changing the way we think about mobile technology and services. Why, Kalanick and Camp wondered, couldn't you pull out your smartphone, push a button, and get picked up by a car?